Good morning. Thank you for having me, and it's a great privilege to be here. This study, the purpose of this study was to determine the effect of mother's lack of health insurance coverage on her children's health outcomes and health-seeking behavior. So no relations to disclose. I'll very briefly provide background information, and I'll talk a bit more in detail on the policy issue and related social problem. And I will also talk about the theoretical frameworks that I'm using to contextualize the policy issue and the related social problem, including the conceptual model, research question, hypothesis, and methods that I'm using to analyze my data. Then I will report on the results and conclude with policy implications and directions for future research. In terms of background information, I wanted to provide a snapshot of health expenditures, health coverage, and infant mortality rate in the United States. As you can see, health expenditures at 18% of GDP, which now many say is 20% of GDP, United States have highest health expenditures in the world, which is almost two times bigger than the OECD average. Similarly, the per capita health expenditure at $8,400 is also one of the highest in the world, and almost three times greater than the OECD average. In terms of health coverage, as you can see, children fared much better. So it's almost, I call it like near to universal coverage. So almost 93% of children had some kind of health insurance. But at the same time, I would like to highlight this, that the adult population in the United States, almost one third of adult population, didn't have any health coverage, which also includes, of course, the parents of these children. And in terms of one of the most fundamental, you know, human development indicator, which is the infant mortality rate, United States still lags behind. And with all the expenditures in the health, you could see that United States with 6 deaths per 1,000 live births ranks 46 in the world, which puts us on the bottom of all OECD countries. And there was also variation between the states. You can see that Washington, D.C. had highest infant mortality rate, and with 12 deaths per 1,000 live births, if Washington, D.C. was considered a country, it would put it like number 86 in the world, you know, behind such countries as Botswana, Sri Lanka, and Argentina. So the main policy issue is related to the current public and private health insurance programs and their implementation. So the main concern with the implementation and performance of this program is the growing gap between children health insurance coverage and that of their parents. So what do I mean by that? Let's have a look at this graph. This is the historic uninsured trend in the United States for the last two decades. So basically, it's fairly stable, and there was only 3.5 percentage points increase in terms of uninsured trend in the United States. So by looking just at this graph alone, it doesn't really ring a bell. But let's play the trend between the adult population and children and see what happens. So you could see a really dramatic increase. I call the gap, and the way I define the gap is the ratio of uninsured adults less the ratio of uninsured children. So you can see that in 1990, the gap was only 1.4%. In 2000, it became 2.8%. 2003, 8.2%, and finally in 2011, it reached 21%. It was really kind of an exponential increase on both sides. So what are the contributing factors to this growing gap? So from my analysis, one of the major contributing factors is that public health insurance programs are individual focused. For example, under Medicaid CHIP, states set different eligibility thresholds for children and for the parents. Like as you can see from the chart, children become eligible at 241% federal income parity line compared to the pregnant women, like at 185% and 64% working parents and 37% jobless parents. Another contributing factor, of course, the high unemployment since 2001 recessions, because many American families lost employer-based health insurance programs because of the layoff of their household members. And also, private health insurance programs becoming more individual-focused, to me, is becoming another major contributing factor to this growing gap, and that's because of the increase in premiums, size of deductibles, and co-insurance rates. Because now, even if the employer provides health insurance, it's very much, you know, for the employee himself, but if he wants to include his family members, then the cost really jumps up, and he has to contribute a lot, and that left the employee with the decision whether to provide health insurance for the individual member or for the whole family. And very often, they opt for the individual members. So clearly, there will be implications of this growing gap. And first is, of course, the unmet parental health and psychological needs, which, if not addressed, would negatively affect children's health outcomes and their health-seeking behavior. So as a PhD student, I had to come up with some existing theoretical frameworks that would explain this adverse relationship between mother's lack of health coverage and the way it affects her children's health and health-seeking behavior. So I'm drawing on the Bronfenbrenner Ecological System Theory of Human Development and Anderson Behavior Model. I believe social workers love the ecological system theory. And I'm using the ecological system theory to explore how mother's lack of health insurance affect child developmental aspect. And in that sense, I'm looking at the health stages of the child as a development aspect. And I compare the health status of the child that lives with insured mother, this is the contextual environment one, and compare with the health status of the children who live with uninsured mothers, the contextual environment two. So kind of look at the difference between these two contextual environments. And I'm using Anderson's behavior model to explore how lack of mother's health insurance affects children's use of preventive care. Again, comparing the use of preventive care of the child who lives with insured mother and compare with the use of preventive care of the child who lives with uninsured mother. Again, looking at the differences. So based on these two theoretical frameworks, I come up with a conceptual model which basically shows the causal pathways of this effect. So it looks following that in a situation when mother doesn't have health insurance, and I'm looking at the left side of this slide with the red arrows, that it would add to her stress, which in turn leads to her poor health, poor mental health, which are, you know, if further not addressed, then it leads to more unresponsive parenting. Mothers would behave more anxiously in her interaction with her child, and she might neglect her child's healthcare needs, which eventually lead to negatively affect child use of preventive care. It could also negatively affect her child's health status. And the two together, I mean, if the child don't use timely preventive care and his health is being deteriorated, so he ends up in using more emergency care. And the total opposite is going to happen like on the right side of the slide. So the main research question was, does a mother's lack of health coverage negatively affect her child's health and health-seeking behavior? Based on these research questions, I'm testing these three main hypotheses. First is that mother's lack of health coverage negatively affects child health status. It also negatively affects child's use of preventive care. And it positively affects child use of emergency care. I used the 2003 National Survey of Children's Health survey data. The survey covered almost more than 100,000 households throughout the United States. The survey subjects were children under 18. One child from each household was randomly selected for the interview, and parents or guardians who knew the most about the child was responded during the survey. And I also used inclusion criteria for my sample, which is all children under 18 who lived with one or two parents, including biological, step-parents, foster, or adoptive. So my final sample made up 95,000. And I'd like to mention that I lost almost 5,000 cases because those children didn't live with either parents. They either live with their grandparents or with their older siblings. So for my analysis, I'm using logistic regressions, and I'm testing these three models. as you can see in the table. The first model, in the first model, the dependent variable in the first model is children's health status, which is a dummy with one poor health. In the second model, the dependent variable is child use of preventive care, which is a dummy with one preventive care is not used. And the third is use of emergency care, which is also a dummy, whether with dummy one, the emergency care was used. And for all the three models, I'm using the variables of interest or the treatment dummies, which are mother's health coverage, mother's poor health, and mother's poor mental health. And I'm using control variables that I draw on the theoretical frameworks, which include gender, race, ethnicity, parents' education, poverty. And I'd like to mention that I'm also controlling for father's health coverage. I'll be reporting on that. Whereas for the other control variables, I'll leave it on the background. So employment, child health coverage too, and child health status for the Anderson model, and some interaction terms. So these are some descriptive statistics on my sample. So we have 49% girls, 51% boys, 74% whites, 17% blacks, and 18% Hispanics. Other racial group made up 9%. And about 9% of children never used preventive care. Almost 22% children used emergency care in the last 12 months. And about 17% of mothers and 16% of fathers did not have any health coverage at the cross-section of 2003. And children without health insurance were only 9%, which was almost twice less than their parents. So these are the logistic regression analysis predicting children's health status. As you can see, mother's lack of health coverage, mother's poor health, and mother's poor mental health, they perfectly predict their child's poor health status. In other words, children living with uninsured mother, with mother who has poor health and poor mental health, they will have significantly high odds of being in the poor health status. And this is an interesting finding, that children health coverage doesn't show effect on the child health status. And I think one explanation is that there was a high ratio of health coverage for all children. And remember, I also dropped like 5,000 cases, which might have included children that didn't have health coverage. And another interesting finding is that father's health coverage doesn't show effect, you know, unlike the mother's health coverage. And one explanation, again, I mean, from my study sample, that in the United States, almost 23% of households don't have father present. I don't know if this is the explanation, but it doesn't show effect. So this is the results predicting child use of preventive care. So as in the previous slide, you could see that mother's lack of health coverage, mother's poor health, again, perfectly predict child not using preventive care. Mother's poor mental health doesn't show effect. And child health coverage, certainly, you know, according to my prior expectation, that is significant, which means, you know, if the child is covered, so he's going to use preventive care. And now, again, interestingly, that father's health coverage doesn't show effect on his children's use of preventive care. And finally, this is the analysis predicting children's use of emergency care. So as you can see, mother's health coverage, if mother doesn't have health insurance, that significantly leads to increased use of emergency care, although in small in magnitude and only at 5% significance levels, but it still predicts increased use of emergency care by her children. And mother's health, mother's mental health don't show effect. And child health coverage, as was in the use of preventive care, that perfectly predicts increased use of emergency care. And interesting finding here, that father's health coverage perfectly predicts use of emergency care by his children, and with higher magnitude, you know, compared to the mother's. Again, it could also tell us that fathers are also important in. So based on these findings, These are the conclusions, that children who live with mothers who do not have health coverage are more likely to have poor health status, less likely to use preventive care, and more likely to use emergency care. You know, in other words, to put it that, to interpret this conclusion, that mother's lack of health coverage is one of the underlying causes of child poor health, reduced use of preventive care, and increased use of emergency care. So in terms of policy implications, future policies and programs addressing children's health and well-being need to draw on a systems approach and account for the mother and child systems to be more effective. As you can see, I guess in 2 or 3 years from now, almost 100% of children in the United States will be covered. But the question is it enough? And as we can see from this finding, that it's not enough. So in order for children to be more healthy, and so their parents should be covered too. So basically, the policy prescription would be provide family-based health coverage versus individual-focused coverage. And again, findings are highly supportive of Obamacare, which is going to hopefully, if it takes effect from 2014, will diminish this effect. And in terms of direction of future research, basically what we did with this study, we looked only at the cross-section of 2003, where the gap was only like 8.2%. So I think it would be interesting to look at this effect by pulling the data from the similar survey that has been done, the 2007-2011, and then look at the average annual effect for this period, like to make a more like stronger case. And I also thought that this kind of study could also serve as a pretest for future policy evaluation when the Obamacare will take effect. Because what I'm kind of stimulating here, that, you know, following the 2014, the gap will really squeeze down, and then it will be interesting to compare how was the effect before the policy was introduced and how it was afterwards. Yeah, this concludes my presentation. Thank you very much.